5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
The Vox Markets Podcast. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome back, everyone, to Vox Markets. My name is Paul Hill, and by popular demand, I'm delighted again to be able to speak to CEO Harry Adams of Argentex, a tech-enabled foreign exchange international payments service provider for corporates, institutions, and high-net-worth individuals. So welcome, Harry.
Welcome. Hi, Paul. How are you doing?
Well, big congrats on yesterday's inline first half trading update. So maybe we can start there. What was behind the sort of the 28% like-for-like increase in revenues to £25 million?
Yeah, so I think I've messaged to you and investors fairly consistently over the last couple of years that we overhauled our strategy 2 years ago, actually pretty much the day. Around three pillars, which is people, places, and products and technology. So we worked really, really hard. The team worked exceptionally hard over the last sort of 9, 12, 18 months, getting us to a position where the business can now operate in any market backdrop. And of course, it's not been a particularly easy half in terms of corporate Britain, which is really what we do. We're here to help corporate Britain navigate the foreign exchange conundrum. I think really, the results that we posted today, it was exceptional growth, but we shouldn't forget that's off the back of a brilliant year last year, but also in some fairly dull market conditions.
Why don't you just talk through the sort of the Q1, Q2 split? I appreciate, it's very difficult to sort of talk in only 3 month slots, given the sort of the business, etc. But just from giving the trading update, and I know I had quite a few investors asking me, just in terms of the colour, how that sort of momentum went from Q1 to Q2.
Yeah, I think, in a perfect world, investors will just want straight line growth quarter and quarter, make their life easy. But we are a trading business. If our clients aren't trading or they're sitting on their hands waiting to see where the market's going or, the economic backdrop and whether that's improving or not, then of course, we can't force them to trade. So, we're here to remove the risk for our clients. So as soon as they have a requirement, then we will we'll help them. But, I don't think we're alone, if I'm honest, checking the results from our competitors, but also, some other trading businesses. May was a poor month in terms of there was one less day than we would usually have, but also a lot of holidays. But we knew it was going to be a tough half, which is why in our budget we certainly thought there would be a higher sort of weighting to H2 than H1. And historically we've sort of been around about that 40 to 45% mark for H1. Mm-hmm. On a calendar basis, we're 42%. It's been as low as 38%. If you take last year as an example. So, we're broadly in line. We're comfortable. We're happy. Looking forward to H2.
Good. And the sort of exit momentum from sort of the end of H1 into H2, because I know last year we had the crisis with Liz Truss, so that sort of like was a bit of an exceptional, to say the least. But are we sort of like expecting sort of, but you know, September time to sort of like see things really kicking? Because you've got your international and your technology really sort of like, you know, starting to do some heavy lifting, I guess, towards the back end of the year.
Yeah, exactly. That's why we always thought we'd have a slightly heavier weighting than we normally do to H2 due to a lot of the investment that'll be coming through that we earmarked for around about some June, July time to kick off. And if you read the RNS, we put out a line regarding the alternative transaction banking as an example, where, you know, we started that from scratch, and our first payment or trade, whatever you want to call it, was in end of March, actually. So that's been really exciting. You know, we knew it is a product that the clients wanted. They are adopting it, and we haven't done the numbers yet in terms of, you know, the H1 hasn't been audited, and we're probably put a lot more meat on the bone around about September time. But I'm expecting to sort of report that the quality of earnings, the average revenue per client would have increased.
Okay. And is there been any sort of like early signs of sort of activity levels increasing at all at clients, given that sterling has appreciated significantly against the dollar of late, or the dollar's weakened, should we say, and also against the euro?
Yeah, so you mentioned earlier on sort of the Trussonomics period, and really, you know, what that does is it brings some of the revenue that you can expect H1, or specifically sort of Q1, I guess, into last year, because, you know, if clients see an opportunity to trade when the rates suit them, and of course they're going to do it, then they're not just going to sit on their hands and wait to Q1, Q2, because that's when they would usually do it. I think also clients are starting to grapple with the fact that interest rates in the UK are going to be higher than they initially expected. And they're now looking to see how that is going to impact that business. So, you know, the majority of our clients are corporates across the UK and a few over in Europe, a majority of corporates in the UK. And, you know, they've got a decision now. Do they just sit back and wait and see before they sort of restock or start buying, forward buying their stock? Or do they just go in now because sterling is sort of at a 3-4 month high against euro and an X month high against the dollar? You know, there's a decision to be made there. I think, you know, you're going to see less emphasis on clients moving due to the rates, but due to the exchange rates, and more to do with just having the certainty on the interest rates.
Okay, good. And just more broadly, looking into sort of 2024, 2025, and this sort of the 3-year transition you talked about with people, sort of technology and products, etc. How's that transition progressing? Because you're 2 years into it now, aren't you, I think?
Yeah, good. Look, it's been fun. You know, we're a fast-paced growth business, so we have 170 staff now. We've pretty much doubled the size of the business in the last 2.5 years. So you know, it has been exciting, but this really is the tip of the iceberg. You know, I've messaged to you and again, investors, that this market is absolutely enormous. It's huge. It's ripe for disruption. And if you get a couple of things right, which you know, I'm not saying we have had them right or bang on in the last sort of 3 years or so, but we are starting to sort of transition to getting a lot of stuff right, then there is no reason why you can't, you know, flourish in this market. Now, you know better than most that there are some other sort of external factors sort of out of our control. But the preamble that we had to this call, we discussed about how, you know, maybe in the next sort of 12 to 18 months, the economic environment will start to improve. And of course, you know, we'll continue to flourish through that.
Good. In terms of the sort of the broader kind of like competitive landscape with the traditional banks, have you seen any sort of like changes in that respect at all, or is the gap still getting still as wide as ever?
I think, you know, it's less the banks competing. What you're starting to see are those challenger banks, so the likes of Revolut and the Wises that are, you know, starting to maybe move up the food chain a little bit. But there's a huge gulf between, you know, where we're positioned and where they're positioned. We are, you know, a sophisticated hedging business. We operate payments across the UK, Europe, and Australia. We have an investment license. We're able to offer clients all sorts of structures should they wish. So they don't really sort of compete, you know, with our Gentex. And that's sort of why we've always tried to position ourselves at the upper echelon of that market. But what it does allow us to do, though, of course, you know, we've seen a few other competitors in our space, but also, you know, Wise being another, who are making great revenue towards the smaller end of the market on the SME side. So, you know, it doesn't take much for us just to start bringing our attention a little bit lower once we create those efficiencies through the tech investment, which is what we're delivering on right now.
Okay, good. And I noticed also from yesterday's announcement, there was a big change up at the top at the non-exec chairman. Can you just talk through what's happened there?
Yeah, absolutely. So Digby's been involved with the business in one way or the other for 10 years now, over 10 years. You know, he's been great, probably our best salesperson that we've ever had at our Gentex. But it gets a time where, you know, it's with the new strategy that we're developing, I'd quite like someone that is able to operate at sort of the more digital level, being kind to Digby. Nigel comes in with a huge amount of experience in digitalizing the lottery, which I know you know and love. I can't wait for him to get in here and start helping me with that journey.
Fantastic. All right, brilliant. Well, just finishing off then, in terms of sort of news flow, I guess it's relatively quiet now until the interim is in September. Is that right? Or obviously you may have something up your sleeve.
Well, my Dutch office tells me that the whole of Europe goes away today for 6 weeks. So we're sort of not expecting a huge amount to change between now and September yet. But you're absolutely right. We'll be out on the road, I think, sort of second week of September. No doubt we'll catch up then.
Brilliant. Okay. Well, thanks again for your time, Harry. And look forward in speaking in September.
Thanks, Paul. Cheers.
The Vox Markets Podcast. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.